We're turning this morning to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. I'm going to read and speak from verse 25 of Matthew 11. Now, here's our subject, the mysteries of the gospel. Now, the scripture calls the gospel a mystery, the mystery of godliness, the mysteries of things revealed. But I'm speaking on the mysteries of the gospel, which are hidden and which are revealed. Now listen to the text. This is the Master speaking. He says in verse 25 of Matthew 11, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord, sovereign of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, from the wise and the clever, the worldly wise, and thou hast revealed these things unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." Now, my friends, when our Lord appeared on this earth in the flesh, when Jesus Christ came into the world, though he came on the most gracious and merciful heavenly business, and Paul said this business was to save, he said, Jesus Christ has come into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. Our Lord said himself, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save the lost. Christ came to die for sinners, Paul said, of whom I'm chief. Now, though he came on the most gracious and merciful heavenly business, and though he was himself without blame, holy, without sin, the scripture says he knew no sin, even Pilate, before that throng crying for his blood, Pilate said, I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him, though he was holy and without blame. And though men acknowledged that he came from God, Nicodemus said, we know you're a teacher come from God. No man could do the miracles you do except God be with him. And though he healed the sick, and though he performed innumerable acts of kindness and love, he was hated. The scripture says, despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was rejected. He was despised. We esteemed him not, no beauty that we should desire him. He found many enemies. In fact, everybody that was anybody turned thumbs down on Jesus Christ. He found many enemies and few friends. Our Lord was especially hated by those high in religious circles. You know that. He was especially hated by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, the scribes, even the high priest. These men who were noted for their theology, noted for their doctrines and their knowledge of morality and tradition, these men who carried on the ceremonies in the so-called house of God, despised Jesus Christ. They sought on every hand to trap him, to ensnare him, to turn the people against him. They despised him. And then he was especially hated by those in great political power and great national power. They began to say, well, can any good thing come out of Nazareth, that little burg, that little village, that poverty-stricken pocket? Can anything good come out of that place? Our Lord was rejected by the wealthy, by the influential. Our Lord asked this question. He said, how hardly shall they that have great riches enter into the kingdom of God? Those who came to him were sinners. Those who gathered about him were the needy, the unlearned, the unloved, the obscure persons. He was called the friend of sinners. Our Lord was kind and merciful to sinners. He associated with men whom other men abhorred. He said, I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The well have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. The Pharisees said, look at him. He's gone to be the guest of a man who's a sinner. One day the Pharisees asked his disciples, why does your master eat with publicans and sinners? Because the others rejected him. Because they despised him. Because they turned their backs on him. He didn't turn his back on them. Our Lord never turned his back on any man. They turned their backs on him. Let's put the blame for our misery where it belongs. Christ said, you will not come to me that you might have life. One day he said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you to myself as a hen doth gather her brood, but you would not." That's where the blame belongs. The high and mighty, the wise and clever, the political powers, the religious powers, all turned thumbs down on Jesus Christ. They turned their backs on Jesus Christ. They cried for his death. He did not turn his back on them. Let's put the blame for the misery of men where it belongs. God says, "I have called, and you refused." God says, "I've stretched forth my hand, and you would not. Therefore, when your fear cometh, I will laugh. You will seek me, and shall not find me. You'll call upon me, and I shall not hear. However, our Lord shall not fail on his mission of mercy. Our Lord shall not fail on his redemptive road. God will have a people. Heaven will be populated. The gospel of Jesus Christ will be believed. Heaven will resound with songs of praise for the grace of our lovely Lord." And that's what our Lord's rejoicing about right here. At that time, Jesus lifted his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, Lord of heaven and earth, sovereign King, thou hast hid these things. Thou hast hid these things from the wise and the clever, but thou hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight." Now I want us to look at this statement carefully. What's our Lord saying here? And there are five, I want to divide it into five parts so that it'll help you understand it and help you retain it. Number one, what are these things that the Lord's talking about? When he said, "Father, you've hid these things from the wise and the clever, the worldly wise. You've hid these things." What are these things which are hidden? Secondly, where are they hidden? In what sense are they hidden? And thirdly, from whom are they hidden? And then fourthly, how is the knowledge of these things to be obtained? Somebody's going to hear it. Somebody's going to believe it. Somebody's going to lay hold upon it. Somebody's going to embrace it. God's going to have a people. The Lord God shall not fail. Christ did not suffer in vain. Though the rich and the wealthy and the influential and the powerful and the religious say, "No, we'll not have this man reign over us. We will not submit to him. We will not bow in subjection to him. We will not have Jesus Christ. We'll have our own way of religion." They may say that, but Christ will have a people. The poor and the despised, the halt, the lame, the blind. "Go out and call them," he said. "Compel them to come in, that my house may be full." And the fifth thing I'm going to look at is this. To whom are these things revealed? Now let's take them one at a time. First of all, what are these things? Our Lord said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hid these things. From the wise and the prudent." What are these things? Well, in general, these things are the things that pertain to salvation. These things are the things that pertain to eternal life. These are the things that pertain to a relationship with God, a true relationship with God. Now, Christ accused those of his day. This is what he said: "You neither know me nor my Father." He says, if I tell you earthly things and you don't understand, how can you understand, how can you believe, if I tell you heavenly things? The Apostle Paul said, "Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man, the things God's prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Neither hath it entered the heart of man, these things that God hath prepared." And that's what I'm talking about. These things here are the things pertaining to salvation, eternal life, a relationship with God. And it's evident from Scripture, and it's evident from experience, and it's evident from history that the natural man knows little or nothing of God. Oh, he has a God of his own imagination, a God of nature, a God that he's whittled out with his own penknife. He has a God, he has an idea of God, but it's not according to knowledge. He's ignorant of spiritual matters. He's ignorant of a true knowledge of God, but Jesus Christ said eternal life is to know the living God. And David said, "As the hart panteth for the water brook, so panteth my soul after the living God." These things are hidden from the wise and the prudent. Now that's in general. These things in particular are the truths and doctrines which pertain to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They hated Christ and rejected him for the things which he taught. They didn't hate Christ because he healed the sick, because he raised the dead, because he fed the hungry. They didn't hate him for these things. He said, "Many good works have I done among you. For which of these do you stone me?" They said, "We're not stoning you for a good work. We're stoning you because you're a man and you say you're God." Oh, that's the problem. He is God Almighty. Do you believe that? Jesus Christ is God Almighty. He said, "I and my Father are one." He said, "He that seen me hath seen the Father." He said, "No man knoweth the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him." God said, Thy throne, O God, is forever. Paul said, "Feed the church of God, which God purchased with his own blood." These things, the deity of Christ, are hid from the wise and the prudent. The deity of Christ, what about his sovereign grace and his sovereign power? When he was down in Nazareth, he told the people he'd show mercy to whom he would. He'd be gracious to whom he would. Why, he said when there was a great famine over the land of Israel, there were many widows without food. God didn't feed a one of them. He fed a Gentile woman. And there were many lepers, but God didn't heal a one. He healed a Gentile by the name of Naaman. And they rose up in anger and would have killed him, would have thrown him off a cliff, simply because he said sovereign mercy. Mercy is sovereignly given. Grace is sovereignly given. It's not mercy if it's earned. It's not mercy if it's bought. It's not mercy if it's owed. It's mercy if it's sovereignly given. When a man casts himself on the mercy of the court, he's casting himself upon the sovereign mercy of the judge. The judge doesn't have to free him. He doesn't have to pardon him. He doesn't have to parole him. He'll do it if he will. And that's what the leper said to Christ, "Lord, if you will, you can make me whole." But these things are hidden. And not only that, but here, the new birth. Our Lord talked to Nicodemus about being born again. He said, "How can this be? Here's a master in Israel. Here's a student of the Scriptures. Here's a theologian, graduate theologian. Here's a man old, up in years, who's been leading, teaching people religion all his life. And Christ talks to him about the simple matter of regeneration, the simple matter of the new birth, the simple matter of the awakening of a sinner, the creation of a new heart. And he says, What? Do I go back in my mother's womb and be born again?" Our Lord said, "Nicodemus, are you a master in Israel and you don't know that? You don't know anything about the new birth?" These things are hid, the nature of faith. He said to them, "Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." And they began to look around saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat? We're not cannibals. We're not supposed to drink blood. How can we drink his blood?" They didn't understand the nature of faith, of receiving Christ into the heart, like I receive food into my mouth that goes into my belly and is digested and sent into all parts of my body and nourishes me and strengthens me and gives me life by that which I put within. So when I receive Christ by faith in my heart, he nourishes my whole being. They didn't understand that. They didn't understand the depravity and inability of man. He accused them of being sinners. They said, "We're not sinners. We're not sinners. We don't do any wrong. We don't steal. We don't kill." Christ said, "Let me tell you something. You've heard it said by them of old time, 'Thou shalt not kill.' Listen to me. To hate a man in your heart is to be guilty of murder." You see, that's where sin is born. That's where it's bred. That's where it's nourished, in the heart. The things that the flesh does is simply the result of sin concocted and planned in the heart. They didn't understand that. These things were hidden from them. Well, they said, "God's our Father, we have Moses." And I'll tell you this, men today will not hear these things. These things. In general, our Lord said, "Father, you've hid these things from the clever and the wise and the intellectuals and the smart aleks. You've hid these things." And these things in general pertain to salvation, life, a relationship with God, in particular. The deity of the Son of God, his incarnation, his sovereign power, the inability of men, the substitutionary work of Christ, the new birth, regeneration, repentance, faith, sanctification. To most people, these are just words, imputed righteousness, imparted righteousness. These things. Well, where are they hidden? In what sense are they hidden? Well, I'll tell you where. They're hid in Christ. That's right. They're in Christ. That's where they are. They're in Christ. God's put every blessing pertaining to sinners in Christ. God's put every blessing pertaining to salvation in Christ. In Him dwelleth. It wasn't there for a little while and then left. It dwelleth. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's where it is. It's in Christ. He of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. You don't need anything but that. Wisdom, heavenly spiritual wisdom. Righteousness, that's pure, perfect, immaculate, infinite holiness. Sanctification, that's imparted righteousness, holiness of life, and redemption. No charge, condemnation, no judgment, all in Christ. They're in Christ, that's where they are. Well, you say, why are they hidden then? Why does he say, if they're clearly in Christ, if they're vested in Christ, if God's put them in Christ, if that's where they are, then why are they said to be hidden? Well, they're not hidden as in a game when we play hide and seek or when we hide the apple or hide the marble. And they're not put in Christ so that men can't find it. If they really want Christ, if they really seek Christ, if they really desire Christ, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. Any man who wants to know these things can know them. But these things are in Christ, and men do not find them or discover them or learn them because they're seeking them. Listen to me. Not in Christ, but everywhere but in Christ. That's the reason they're hidden. You'll never find anything if you don't look where it is. If I take my keys today and hide them over there under that chair, you're not going to find them looking on this pulpit. You're not going to find them looking back here behind the backdrop. You've got to look where they are. And the reason, salvation, eternal life, forgiveness, mercy, which is hid in Christ, is not discovered and understood and laid hold upon by sinners is because they're not looking for these things in Christ. They're looking for them everywhere but in Christ. They're looking for salvation down the front of a church or in a preacher's hand or in a sacrament or in bread or wafers or wine or in the baptismal pool or in the law or in the good work. Paul said in Romans 10, he said, they're going about to establish their own righteousness. They won't submit to the righteousness of God, which is Christ. Christ said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. But we're trying to get to the Father through the church. Ask a man, how are you saved? Well, I'm a good Christian. Or I'm a Methodist or a Baptist or a Catholic. That's not the way to be saved. Christ is the way to God. It's clear it says that. It's in Christ. Or men try to be saved by doing good. Are you a Christian? Well, I've never done anybody any harm. I've always tried to do the best I can. I've been good to my wife and children and taken care of my family and paid my honest debt. Well, that's not the way to God. You're looking for it everywhere it is. It's in Christ. Forgiveness, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin, in Christ Jesus. And where are you looking for redemption? Well, you're looking in your works. Are you a Christian? Yeah, 25 years ago, I did this, I did that, I did this. But that's not what the Scripture says. It says redemption is not in I did, it's in He did. It's in Christ. You see what I'm saying? These things are hid. The door to heaven, what is it? Somebody says, well, there's a lot of ways to heaven. We're all just traveling different ways. Christ said, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Christ Jesus. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He that climbeth up some other way is a thief and a robber. These things, they're hid from the wise and the clever and the prudent. Because he's looking for these things everywhere but where they are. And they're going to stay hid from you till you see them in Christ. You're coming to Christ or you're not coming to God. You're coming by the way of the cross or you're not coming at all. Now that's so. And you'll go on blinded by the God of this world. He's religious. He's always been religious. He's always dealt with people in the religious area, in the religious realm. Some people think Satan hangs out at the honky-tonks and down at the pool room or somewhere. No, he doesn't. He hangs around in churches and synagogues and cathedrals and everywhere where religion is named, so he can blind people with everything in the world but Christ. He doesn't care how religious you are, just so you do not know Christ. And they remain hidden from everybody who looks for them anywhere but in Christ, who said, "Look unto me and be ye saved. I'm God and there's none else." All the ends of the earth. Is that clear? Thirdly, from whom are they hidden? He said, "Father, you've hid these things from the wise and the prudent." Now, this expression does not mean that these people who reject God's grace and gospel are truly wise. He calls them the wise. "You've hid these things from the wise." They're not really wise. They're wise in the wrong things. They're clever in the natural realm. They can build bridges and skyscrapers and make war. But they think themselves to be wise, but the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. A truly wise man is one who fears God. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ is saying this. You've hid these things from the wise and the prudent, from people who have worldly wisdom, natural wisdom, physical, material wisdom. And they think themselves to be wise in the spiritual realm, but they, in that realm, they're blind and dull of hearing. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. They're foolishness to him. The truly wise man is the man who fears God. Listen to the wise man Solomon. He said, "The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord." That's where it all starts. The secret of the Lord, the secret of God, the mysteries of God are with them that fear God. A man of good judgment, a prudent man, is one who knows that a man's life does not consist in the things which he possesses. That what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Listen to 1 Corinthians 1:26. "You see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh are called, not many mighty, not many noble, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the base things, and the things which are despised by men, to can bring to naught the things that are." To whom are these things hidden? The worldly wise, even the religious wise, those who think themselves to be wise, and have not subjected their so-called wisdom to the wisdom of God, who've not come down in the dust at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, who've not said, "Lord, I'm but a child, teach me. I'm so hungry, feed me. I'm so empty, fill me. I'm so blind, give me sight. I'm so deaf, give me hearing. I'm so dumb. Let the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ shine into my heart." Well, how is the knowledge of these things obtained? Salvation, forgiveness of sin, eternal life. He said, "Thou hast revealed them." That gives us the clue. Thou hast revealed them. It's a revelation. One day our Lord said to his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist, and some say you're Elijah, and some say you're one of the prophets." See, these are natural men of logic and intellect, trying to figure out who this man Jesus Christ is, trying to figure out, well, where'd he come from, and who is he, and what's he saying? They couldn't figure it out. They couldn't see it. They were so-called wise men. But our Lord pointed to these so-called ignorant fishermen, these obscure, uninfluential men, and he said, "But whom do you say that I am?" And Peter looked at him and said, "I know who you are. You are the Christ, the Messiah. You are the one promised all the way through the Old Testament. You're the Son of God." And he said, "Peter, blessed are you. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. You didn't learn that in school. You didn't learn that down at synagogue. My Father taught that to you. You, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven." Peter, blessed are your eyes, they see, and your ears they hear. Here were these scribes and Pharisees. Peter spent his life on a boat, on the beach, fishing, cleaning nets, washing nets, casting them into the sea, cleaning fish, cutting them up, selling them. Here were these men who spent their lives up there with all the old musty, rusty books. They'd blown the dust off and swept the cobwebs and read them from cover to cover. They'd read all of the old writers. They'd read the scriptures. They'd searched the scriptures. They'd searched them in vain. They were blinded by their own traditions and ceremonies and religious heritage. They couldn't see anything. And they said, well, who is this man Jesus, etc., etc.? And our Lord said, Peter, whom do you say that I am? And he said, you're the Son of God. I know exactly who you are. That's how he came to know it, by revelation. But God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our heart to give us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, from faith to faith. Yes, sir, that's how it's learned. That's how it's learned. You're not going to teach a man these things. God teaches. God's his teacher. And we preach and we teach and we give the scripture. But I'm going to tell you something. God's our teacher. The Holy Spirit's our teacher. And we'll only learn from him when he opens the heart and is pleased by his grace to give us an understanding. To whom are they revealed? Babes. Thou hast hid these things from the wise and the clever and the intellectual, and thou hast revealed them to babes. You talking about little children preaching? Well, not necessarily. I'm talking about those who are brought down to the feet of Christ, down, 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 as little children. Our Lord said, except you be converted and become as a little child. What's a little child like? Well, he knows he's ignorant. He knows he doesn't know. Secondly, he's teachable. He'll listen to you. And then he's dependent. He'll not reason. He'll receive. And when you stop reasoning and start receiving, you'll start believing.